and welcome to On Her Majesty's Secret Podcast, brought to you by our fine Patreon sponsors and White Rocket Entertainment. I'm your host for this program, Jared Albrick, the Yard Sale Artist, and joining me as veteran Bondophile co-host is my brother, Jason. Welcome to the show, Jason.
Thanks for having me. Glad to be here.
All right. You got your 00 card stamped and ready to go? Passports ready?
You know I do.
Stopped by Q Branch, signed your sexual harassment papers on Moneypenny, so you're all good. All right.
Got my penicillin and everything ready to go.
Okay. This is the first episode of an ongoing series on this channel called MI6 Rookie Agents. On Rookie Agents, we are taking two friends in my life who are not very familiar with the 007 universe through the entire James Bond series of films, one movie at a time, to get the newcomer's point of view on the film series that we love so much on Her Majesty's Secret Podcast. So, let's welcome our rookie guest to the show. Welcome to the show, Delvin the Dark Web Williams.
Hey, everybody. If you have heard of me before, I was also Felix Leiter in the newer Bond movies.
That might not be true. All right. I think that was Jeffrey. Never mind. We'll find out when we get to those episodes.
It was me.
And welcoming our other rookie agent to the show, it is Pat DJ Christatos Samson.
Hello, everyone. I'm glad to be here. Longtime listener, first time caller. Love the show. Great topic.
All right. Thank you, Pat. Okay, we're planning on releasing the show monthly as a kind of companion to the show that Van Allen Plexico and Alan Porter are doing. They're currently doing one 007 film per month as we build towards the release date of Bond 25 in 2019. And this show will do the same, just getting a fresh look at the 007 series through the eyes of our newcomers. So if you want a more in-depth academic look into the film series, complete with a host that has an actual British accent, definitely stay tuned to and subscribe to On Her Majesty's Secret Podcast for Van and Alan's show, or the show where Van, John Ringer, and I are doing the World Cup of James Bond, amongst other fun Bondian things that we have planned. Basically, On Her Majesty's Secret Podcast is your channel for 360 degrees of Bond. So let's get to today's film, Dr. No.
My name is Bond, James Bond. My instructions were implicit. I was to leave for Jamaica in 2 hours. License to kill.
Now you maybe miss it.
You don't miss a thing.
I decided to accept your invitation.
I have to leave immediately.
Just as things were getting interesting again.
Bond, 007, licensed to kill whom he pleases, where he pleases, when he pleases. From the elegant club rooms of Mayfair to exotic island night spots.
Jump up, jump up.
Good evening.
Jump up, jump up.
Who pays you?
You.
Tell us.
Jump up, jump up.
A strange adventure of intrigue, treachery, and love.
Hello? Oh, Mr. Bond. I was thinking, why don't you collect me at my apartment? It's lovely up here in the mountains.
Her directions were easy to follow. She sent a few of her friends to make sure I didn't get lost. She thought I was dead, but I proceeded to prove her wrong. I thought it was always polite to knock first, before shooting. Honey, from our very first meeting, was everything her name implied. She clung to me like a wet bathing suit. But business as usual came first. The pace was killing.
I thought you less stupid. I could have had you killed in the swamp.
And why didn't you?
You damaged my organization. Unfortunately, I misjudged you. You are just a stupid policeman whose luck is run out.
Maybe it was my luck. Up to my neck in hot water. Or something blowing up in my face.
You'll live dangerously with a superbly resourceful James Bond. The explosive screen dramatization of the book that has entertained millions of readers. The exotic and tantalizing Dr. No.
Some people will go to any extremes for a little privacy.
Jason, please give us a quick mission briefing on Dr. No.
Glad to do it.
Pay attention, 007.
So this is the one that started it all, folks. You know, Dr. No introduces us to the inimitable James Bond 007 license to kill. So the plot goes something like this. When Agent Strangways is murdered in Jamaica, James Bond is sent to investigate. Armed with only his wits and Walther PPK, 007 teams up with CIA agent Felix Leiter and lovable local sailor Quarrel to fight assassins, tarantulas, enemy agents, and deceitful beauties to uncover the deadly truth camouflaged within the island paradise. Eventually, Bond and Quarrel find themselves on a mysterious island owned by the equally mysterious Dr. No. Bond and his team uncover a nefarious plot by the evil doctor to invest his vast resources to create a secret base and use his ill-gotten technology to throw U.S. space rockets off course. While infiltrating the island, Bond comes across the beautiful Honey Rider, who routinely, it turns out, smuggles herself onto the beach in order to search for valuable seashells. As Bond suspects, her appearance triggers the island's defenses, and Honey, Bond, and Quarrel wind up chased by gunboats, mercenaries, guard dogs, and eventually an armored car armed with a flamethrower. Our stalwart heroes manage to evade capture for a while, but are eventually apprehended after Quarrel is horrifically burned alive. In the film's final act, Bond and Honey are finally brought before Dr. No, and face to face with his nemesis, Bond is made aware of Dr. No's schemes and that the Doctor is a member of a secret organization called Spectre. Dr. No eventually grows tired of Bond and leaves him for his men to soften up. Honey is taken away to amuse the guards. I'm pretty sure she's going to need therapy when that's all over. And Bond is savagely beaten by the henchmen and dumped unconscious into his cell. Dr. No and his thugs soon learn, however, that while James Bond takes his martinis cold, he likes his action hot. Escaping his cell, Bond manages to thwart Dr. No's mission, kill the villain, rescue Honey, blow up the base, and shag Honey Rider on an escape boat. Credits roll, and like a shot, the James Bond dynasty launches into orbit. And then just give you a couple stats to round this thing out. James Bond was directed by Terrence Young and produced by Harry Saltzman and Albert R. Broccoli and released in 1962. The film's budget was less than $1 million, and the movie eventually raked in almost $60 million when it was re-released with the premiere of Goldfinger. It starred James Bond, was played, of course, by Sean Connery, Honey Rider by the lovely Ursula Andress, Dr. No by Joseph Wiseman, Felix Leiter by Jack Lord, and Quarrel was by John Kitzmiller. And the music was done by Monty Norman. And I think that covers all the bases there, Jared.
You did a fine job, and thank you for that, Agent Jason. Now, let's find out what our rookie agents thought about this one in a segment that we call Declassified.
Bond. James Bond.
Do you expect me to talk?
So, now that we are into Declassified, we are going to hear from our rookie agents. Let's start with Pat. Pat, give us your highs and lows, and overall thoughts on Dr. No.
Well, it was a pretty dense kind of a movie. Not a lot of action. And when the action was there, it was quick and easy. some punches here and there. Very more intellectual than what I was expecting it to be. Mm-hmm. Very more spy intrigue happening. I really had to pay attention to, you know, who he was talking to, what was going on around him to understand why things were kind of happening. Seems like wherever he goes, trouble seems to follow him. I did enjoy it, being my first time through. I never sat and watched Dr. No. So this was my first time going through it. Mm. My lows would be, action. I wanted more action. What was that?
I don't know. Apparently that answer was correct. I heard a ding myself, but I don't know where it came from.
I think that was my phone. That was my, sorry.
Supper's ready.
So what happens when we do it live?
Crazy things.
The acting, very well done. Really enjoyed Sean Connery. Seeing him that young, wow, impressive. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The ladies that are in here, very nice. Mm-hmm. Also with the clothing, watching the attire and the clothing that everybody's wearing, and, you know, just everybody's smoking. It was very interesting. I decided to keep a count of how many cigarettes that James Bond actually lights up and smokes.
So you will have this for posterity once we get all through all 24. But what was the count in Dr. No?
What, anybody want to take a guess?
Oh, it's good guessing.
15.
I'm going to go low and say 7.
Okay. And Jason?
Are we talking everybody or?
No, just him. How many times he actually has a smoke and has a cigarette and he's smoking it? Lights it or smoking? They turn and they see him smoking.
9 times.
All right. And the winner is Jared. He actually had 7 cigarettes. Boom, boom, chop,
boom, boom, four. Actually, I only counted 7, but I didn't want to. 007. I didn't want to. Maybe that's what it was. Hey, Jared, here's a quick trivia stumper for you. What was the last James Bond movie in which James Bond smoked?
I want to say it was. It was probably a Dalton, and I'll say License to Kill.
I think it was Living Daylights was the last. But I could be wrong. Now you got me questioning myself. We'll find out. You're right. It was Dalton.
We'll find out because Pat's keeping track.
Keeping the smoking. I got to come up with a better name on it. But
Pat, aren't you keeping track of something else?
I am, too.
How about smoke signals?
Oh, I like it.
Oh, there you go. So the smoke signals for...
That's why I'm here. That is why I'm here.
So we'll be counting the smoke signals as we go through these movies as well. My other thing that I am counting is 00 player, which means how many ladies he met with.
Undercover agent, maybe is the name of this segment.
Undercover agents, yep. Does anybody dare to take a...
For queen and country.
And this is just my take on it. So I have a list of their names and how many he actually scored with.
It was 3.
In this movie, I think you're right. I think Sylvia Trench, the photographer, or not the photographer lady, but the, what was her name?
The lady that disappeared, and I don't know what happened to her. He put her in a cab and she just went away.
I know where she went, but we cover that when we get to Double Squad. She's Miss, dang it.
I can't think of her name now.
It's going to drive me nuts. This is the secretary lady at the government house. Her. And of course, Honey Rider.
Well, here's what I have. Miss Trench scored.
Yeah.
Money Penny.
No.
No.
Oh, yes.
No.
He was hitting on her.
No score. But
no, that's not scoring.
Well, I know. It's not. He's playing her. It's a player.
That does not count as a score. Yeah. That is not a score.
I'm not saying it's a score. That's why I'm saying it's not a score.
Oh, okay.
Then why did you say her name?
He's putting the booze on him.
This portion of the show needs some refinement, folks.
Either way, so I counted every time he made a move, and then the next step was whether or not he was successful with it. It's easy count. It's easy to count whether he scores or not, but is it how many is he flirting with?
Yeah,
we're going to get into the
hundreds. Because that's a spy, you know what I mean? An attractive guy like me, I would use my looks to get what I want.
Oh, I get it. I see.
I mean, he was in the middle of the case, but, you know, all I want to know is, did he do it?
That's in one of our lessons we have to learn is, being a player 101. That's part of being James Bond.
Okay, so just tell us how many deal closures he had. Okay.
The other is Miss Taro.
Miss Taro. That's right.
That's a closed more than once. And Honey Rider.
There you go.
And those are the lists that I'm keeping track of.
Well, you're doing the Lord's work there.
Yes.
All right.
Some of the other things. Oh, I was going to say some of the other things that I found interesting was. I don't know if it was like being lip dubbed, but when they're being shot at on the island and the boat's coming around and the guy takes off, you know, the guy's just like, his voice is not matching the character. It's like some carny guy talking out of a megaphone.
Hey. And even when he takes the megaphone away from his mouth, he still has it megaphone.
Yeah, right at the end, he's still at it.
All right.
Let's get out of here.
With the dogs.
Whole speed ahead.
With the dogs.
Your instincts are dead on that one, though, because of their budget was so small, they used local actors for a lot of the scenes, and then they had to dub over them in post-production.
Yeah, 007 movies. 007 movies are going to use a lot of dubbing in the early years. They dub a lot.
That was one of the questions that my wife had, because she was watching it with me. She was like, why does no one on the island have a Jamaican accent? That would explain it.
There you go.
Nice.
Other than that, like I said,
Jamaica me crazy, Bond.
I knew somebody was going to do it. Remember, we're trying not to get kicked off of the show in our first episode.
Wait, where was that in the production notes?
Oh, proceed, Pat.
Being an older movie and going back and rewatching it just to see some of the effects and what they had to do for filming, like when he's driving the car up to go see Miss Tarar and in that chase, you can definitely tell that he's just in the car going back and forth, and they have the
rear screen projector.
Going on. Love that. Just fun looking at the island and all that. You know, very beautiful landscapes and scenery going on. I found that interesting as well. Spy wise, they didn't really get into a lot of, you know, undercover things that I would think you would do, or perhaps maybe I'm thinking later on in the, you know, special gadgets that obviously must come later, this being the first movie.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's right.
The one thing too is why did he not let him keep the Beretta?
I jammed up on his last assignment, and he spent a few weeks in hospital because of it. Come on, man.
Well, I understand, but I was wondering if there was more to it.
It wasn't standard issue, right?
I think it was old standard issue, and they had a new, you know, it was basically turning your old one, get the new one, and Bond with his loyalty was holding on to his old gun. It actually ties into the novels, because Dr. No is not the first novel, and I'm not going to remember which novel came before it. You guys will have to write angry letters to the show. But I know in the novel before, he actually did have a gun jam, and he took an injury because of it. So it's actually something that played in from the books.
Nice.
I like how Felix later and his buddies are kind of trailing Bond in the beginning, because they're not sure whether he was, you know, what side he was on. Mm. And then they take him in the back room and rough him up. And then why does the guy keep calling him Captain?
Hey, Captain.
Yeah. Hey, Captain.
I don't know. It's just kind of the way he talks. That's his Jamaican accent.
And then they, you know, they're walking in water. Who rolls up their pants when they're walking around in water?
It's an island thing.
Yeah. James Bond does. No further questions, Pat. Your time is up.
All right.
I'm just kidding. Do you have any more questions?
If they come, I'll let you know.
All right. Well, let's let Delvin jibber jabber on this for a minute. Rookie Agent Williams, a.k.a. Yeah. The Dark Web. Lay it on us, man.
I wrote pages of notes, and yeah, so I go in chronological order.
Sure.
But I won't read them all, but I'll go through a few of them. I don't know how, but somehow a guy having the last name of Broccoli sounded cool. I don't know why that is.
Vicious.
Yeah, I couldn't imagine someone coming up, "What's your name?" You know, "My name is Arnold Asparagus," and it sounding cool, but Broccoli somehow sounds. Is that his real name?
I think so, yeah.
Wow. I've never met a Broccoli. I'll have to look forward to that. You get the feeling coming into the movie, you know, and just how, you know, from the opening scene, you know, the now very famous, you know, walking and turning and shooting the camera, and the camera doing the slow fade, but also just the graphics that people coming in, you know, thought this was kind of trippy. It seemed like it kind of had a trippy type vibe to it, that it was going to be a little bit off the beaten path as far as storylines being told. And I don't have much experience with movies back in the 60s. This was a 60s movie, right?
62.
Oh, early 60s. Yeah, like you get the feeling that they wanted to establish this wasn't going to be one of those, you know, standard movies of the 60s. And I would imagine it'd be pretty racy that, you know, Bond eventually wound up sleeping with three women, wound up, you know, he was flirting very heavily with Moneypenny. That I'm imagining that's something that was pretty racy at the time. And since you mentioned it was 62, like one of the notes I wrote down was, I wonder how shocking it was at the very beginning of the movie to see that there were, you know, dark skinned or Jamaicans, you know, like revolting or shooting not dark people. Like that seems like something that could be like somebody might go to that movie back in the day and like, I don't like this. This is this is uncomfortable to me. Let's see. My wife noted raunchy joke coming ahead. I'm sorry. You know, when he met Sylvia Trench, she made a joke about James Bond being deep in the trenches. I kept
Well, you know that the James Bond has a long line of women with suggestive names, and yeah, Sylvia Trench is definitely on the list.
I want to say that Bond's intro was very nice. You know, he's there. I believe he had on a white suit. He just looked very dapper and cool, which, of course, is James Bond, what people know. But that very opening scene where people are seeing him on the screen for the first time, they did a very good job with that, I thought.
In the casino?
Yeah.
In the casino?
Yeah. I have a question, gentlemen. What game were they playing? Was it Baccarat?
I will let Jason take this one.
It was either Chemin de Four or Baccarat.
It was Chemin de Four.
Ooh. I don't know.
There are variations of the same game. Basically, it's kind of similar to blackjack, except the magic number you want to get to is 9, and face cards count as 0. So you get dealt 2 cards, similar to blackjack. And so if you had like a king of hearts and a 9, then you have the best hand possible. And so, you know, if you have an 8, it's really good. And you can take one more card, or you can stand, and so basically that's the gist of it. And in the scene, Bond was controlling the bank, and Sylvia Trench was, you know, trying to give him a run for his money, but Bond was had the hot hand going. So
yeah, she even hit like an 8, which is an excellent number, obviously, in that game. And then of course Bond flipped over
with that 8.
Bond flipped over that 9.
Yeah, as he always does.
Hey, it's Bond. You know, he's got things going his way. I thought the opening scene that was in MI6, it reminded me a lot of Batman, the Batman set. That is, I looked at it, and like even from the labeling and everything, it reminded me of the Adam West Batman series.
Really? I've never heard that comparison before.
And then later on with Dr. No's, a whole laboratory again, just with a very big, clearly, you know, defined, and this is, you know, the Fram Stamalambulator, and this is it had every word just spelled out, reminding me of the Batman set.
Now that I could definitely see.
Let's see. My wife laughed at the first fight scene. She called it extra, because like, you know, like that punch was just telegraphed to all heck, and the guy just goes over and Bond London. I did think overall, like, I wasn't crazy about the fight scenes, but what they did establish throughout the whole movie was really good pacing. They showed very much from the start this was not going to be something that they were going to hurry and breeze through. This was going to be a very deliberate film with how you get to know James Bond and how he operates. So I did understand it. And I also get the feeling that fight scenes are going to get better in the coming up movies. But they relied heavily on the story and the character of who James Bond is to sell the movie more than any action scenes. My wife guessed right away when Felix Leiter character came in, even before he introduced himself, that he was an American CIA agent. She guessed it. So she did a great job on that. I thought it was very interesting that the very first time that he was given a drink, that the guy said mixed, not stirred.
Mixed just as you requested, sir.
And I was like, that's not shaken, not stirred. And of course, they said it later in the movie, but the very, very first time was mixed, not stirred. Let's see. They did a very good job with Dr. No, like that opening scene where they never showed him, but you heard his voice, very cold and calculating and chilling. It was almost like he told the guy to sit down just to give him an order and then told him to come over to the table where the tarantula was. I thought the tarantula scene was probably the scariest scene in the movie because I'm like, no, I could not have stayed calm with a tarantula on me. I would have freaked the heck out. That would have.
I will throw in a little bit of Bond trivia for you guys since you're newbies. When you see this tarantula actually crawling on the arm and you don't see Connery's face, that's a stuntman. When you see Connery's face, there's a sheet of glass between him and the tarantula. It's actually crawling on glass because Connery was the same as Delvin. He was like, nope.
Yeah, I don't blame
him. Shut up. Yes.
Nice. Now would be a very good time to tell me where the girl in the cab, where did she go?
Ah, you know what? I answer a lot of these. I'll let Jason take this one unless for some reason he doesn't understand where she ended up going. I'll give you a hint. It was not a cab. Go, Jason.
Oh, I know.
You know what? I'm not actually sure where they took her. I guess I know.
It was a guy from the house
house. He took her to jail. He never ordered a cab. He called the cops.
That's what I thought. I knew that, Delvin.
Come on.
I missed it. I totally missed it.
It's easy to miss because he calls on the phone and he says, yeah, I need a pickup as soon as possible. And then they start talking about taxis. She assumes he's calling a taxi, but he called the cops to have her arrested. Mm-hmm. And then so basically he had sex with her again.
He's like, until the cops squeeze one more roll in the hand before.
Well, she was about to go up the river for a long time, so you know.
Now it makes more sense that she's back
one more face. Pokey before the pokey, if you know what I'm saying.
Again, he's playing it.
I'll ask the dumb question, but hey, I'm the newbie, so I can ask it. What was she going to jail for?
She was spying to be a bad person. Listen, don't ask too many questions. All right, just
yes. She had set Bond up to be murdered.
Yeah,
she was on that trip up there. She was working for Dr. No. She was the spy in the office, and she set James Bond up for those guys that were chasing him in the hearse.
And I give James Bond a bunch of credit. Like, it's like she was giving those directions, and as soon as she said the cement plant, I zoned out. I'm like,
oh my god! Just Google it.
Like, how the heck did he know to get there and didn't write it down? Amazing the detail. Goodness,
it was a whole different time. It was before Google Maps.
Yeah, you actually had to listen to directions.
Yeah.
It seemed like it was a long drive too for her to go to work all the time from there.
Well, she lived up in the mountains where it was cool. Yeah. But yeah, she basically attempted murder, conspiracy to commit murder, and I don't know, espionage.
And yeah. I'll skip a few things. Even like, you know, I felt bad for Quarrel.
All felt bad for Quarrel.
Yeah, I mean they gave him the Kenny treatment, you know, 40 plus years ahead of its time. You know, Quarrel was just there, cool, helping out. Then all of a sudden he just gets destroyed by the dragon tank thing. You know, that was bad.
Yeah.
I liked Quarrel.
And so did Bond, because, you know, Bond went over to check on him. The guy was like, sorry, we ain't got no flowers.
Why didn't Quarrel just move?
Yeah, I don't. Listen, okay, like, I'm going to go on a little bit of a rant. This is one thing that bothers me with Dr. No. Quarrel starts out as a pretty competent, pretty smart partner, sidekick, and he just gets, like, dumber as the movie goes. Like, sillier and, like, I don't know. It seems like his character degrades as the movie goes. And it's always kind of bothered me.
Because once they get Honey, it's like, okay, I don't need you anymore.
Yeah.
I personally didn't like the part that, you know, they're
playing on, crowd, dude.
They're playing on, like, the island superstition thing. And it seemed like he would be someone that would be a little bit smarter than that.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about when they make him just, they kind of make him a little more silly as the movie goes. But, I don't know. Maybe we haven't heard the last of Quarrel. Who knows?
I got a couple more things. I had no idea that Spectre was an acronym.
Hmm.
And so when they said, you know, when they spelled it out, of course, I can't remember what it is, you know, attention to detail. But I was like, oh, Spectre is an acronym.
Special Executive for Counterterrorism Revenge and Extortion.
Yeah, that's some bad dudes to have revenge in their acronym like that.
You know,
guys mean businesses. So. Last question. What the heck was Dr. No trying to do? I did not get that at all. Like they were down there and they were there monitoring the rocket launches, and somehow James Bond threw it off and it started that fight where Dr. No, that was kind of confusing to me.
I think if he had better hands, he could have done a lot more.
But didn't he have super strong?
I think Delvin needs to ask his wife. It sounds like she was paying more attention than he was.
Okay, so what he was doing was toppling. He was toppling American rockets. You got to remember this is during the space race. Mm-hmm. And so he was toppling American rockets using some kind of radio beam thing he had with his atomic power. Don't ask about the science behind it, but that's what he was doing. He was crashing American rockets as they were launching them to hurt America's space race. You know, what's funny is I had the same question when I was a kid when I first saw Dr. No, like when he fell down into the boiling water and he drowned. I was like, yeah, why? You know, he's got super strong hands. I don't understand why he can't come up. And the point of it was they're super strong, but they're metal. And he's trying to grasp the metal bar and you can't get a grip. So that's why he just couldn't get up there and he kept sliding down. I don't feel bad for him.
I think he's a little kind of weird kind of guy, too, because he goes into the room when once they drug Bond. And he just kind of stands over
just creeps
him.
On him.
And then he moves the blanket slowly away with the covers, and then it's like, okay, this is kind of a
and it was kind of an extra bad guy move as well, to where it's like, oh, okay, hey, welcome, and I'm gonna be hospitable and I'm gonna bring you to your quarters, and oh, by the way, I drugged your coffee. Like, can you just knock him out?
I know, right?
Come on, Bond, why would you drink that? Wouldn't you know?
Oh, because he's hungry.
Well played, Jason.
Then eat the food.
Yeah, it was
just because they give you a shower and scrub you down doesn't mean they're gonna.
It was an awfully elaborate like hotel room breakfast setup to be just like, ha ha.
I gotta admit though, you know, if somebody were my enemy, you know, and you know they got me a shower and scrubbed me down, I might accept the food too. I mean, that's really nice.
It's hospitable.
It's like, oh, I guess I will let my guard down. Maybe he's not a bad guy after. Wait a minute.
Oh, I'm unconscious.
Well, he's probably thinking, well, at least I got Honey to take her clothes off, so I gotta.
My day is complete.
Yeah.
You know, further than I got. We're like, yeah, I'll shower the woman. And he's just standing there, guys. I'm irradiated.
Somebody help me.
We'll get to you.
But it also, like, I'm just a thought that popped in my head. Wouldn't Honey be, like, really super irradiated? Because she goes there to get shells all the time.
Yeah, I thought that, too. I thought that was interesting that she's the one that had been there the most and the longest duration. You would have thought she would have had accumulated more rads.
Maybe when she started out, she was like a brunette.
Oh, the mysteries that we think about. Anything else you got, Delvin?
Overall, I did think it was a good movie. And of course, you always have to consider the time. My God, I didn't know it was 55 years ago that this movie came out. Mm-hmm. So you can't expect the action and everything to be exactly like a movie in 2017 would. For a movie that long ago, I think it holds up the overall structure of it holds up very well in establishing the character of James Bond.
Very good. Very good. Well done to both of you guys. I appreciate your thoughts. I appreciate your willingness to dive in. But really quick, and I express really quick here, Jason, let's have our veteran, because Jason will talk all night about this if we let him. Let's have our veteran co-host weigh in on this one. Agent Jason, what did you think about Dr. No? I know you've seen it many, many times. So what's your overall thoughts that you want the people of the podcast to know?
So, you know, I just thought of a question. I'm kind of going to go a little bit off script here, Jared. Hope you don't mind. But I was just wondering, and this is to you, Jared. What's your first James Bond movie? What's the first James Bond memory? The movie that you saw and the setting in which you saw it?
I would say for the movie theater, it's definitely Octopussy. I can remember going to see that when I was about 5 or 6. And I remember our neighbors took us when we were living in Indiana. Before that, I would say more vivid. Yeah, I also remember For Your Eyes Only, because it was on HBO. When we go over to our friend's house, we'd watch For Your Eyes Only on HBO a lot.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. Yeah, I came up, I remember watching you when you were just a baby, like maybe 2 years old, watching Thunderball with Dad on television. And that's I still remember that moment and seeing that underwater battle scene and everything. Spoiler alert, guys, for the movie that's coming up. Yeah, I think 50 years is about the extent of spoilers around here. But yeah, I remember seeing that movie. And then Moonraker came out, was it 78 or 79, something like that. 79. And Mom and Dad were going to go see the movie, and I begged them to take me with them. And they wouldn't let me go see it because I was too little, they said. And that stung. And then, but they did let me go see For Your Eyes Only, which was the first movie I saw in the theater. And so I bring that up because, you know, so the first time I saw Dr. No, I'm almost 100% sure I saw it on the TV movies when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And so I had seen other James Bond movies before Dr. No. So as a kid, when I saw it, I was a little underwhelmed because the action didn't quite stack up to the action that I had seen in the later Sean Connery and definitely in the Roger Moore era. And so I left a little bit underwhelmed. But now, you know, as I got older and I look back on it, you got to appreciate what a phenomenon it was. This was supposed to be a one and done film. Like I said, the studio gave him $1 million, basically, to make a movie. And I remember, it's Lois Maxwell who plays Moneypenny, right, Jared?
Correct, yep.
So Lois Maxwell was actually offered the part of Sylvia Trench.
Mm-hmm, true.
And she was basically given the choice. Do you want to be Sylvia Trench or do you want to be or do you want to be Moneypenny? And Lois Maxwell just wasn't comfortable with, you know, just wearing, a men's nightshirt in that scene. She was more comfortable with the Moneypenny role. By the time it was all over, I think it was Terrence Young that went up to her and said, you know what? I think you made a really good choice because I think we're going to get a series out of this and you're going to get a reoccurring role. Nice. So, I mean, it was really kind of a surprise to everybody how well they did. I believe, wasn't it Cary Grant that was supposed to, that everybody was pursuing as James Bond?
He was definitely on the roster. Yeah.
Right. And Sean Connery came out of nowhere, like literally out of nowhere and stole the show. Terrence Young was basically chosen to direct because Terrence Young was James Bond incarnate. He was the guy that, was into that world of fashion and the nightlife and everything. And he was somebody that molded what they affectionately called a diamond in the rough, Sean Connery, mm-hmm. into James Bond. Sean Connery is basically a sailor, bodybuilder, worked the docks, tough guy. And Terrence Young is really credited with bringing out the character James Bond within Sean Connery. So all of these things came together to make a phenomenal film. And when you compare it to the rest in the archive, you know, it may not match up to the best moments, but it set a pretty good bar, I think. And I will just wrap this up by saying, and you guys touched on it a little bit, the set designer. What was the set designer's name again? Now it's
Ken Adams.
Ken Adams. Ken Adams was phenomenal. Yeah, I mean, this guy, while the cast and crew were filming in Jamaica, He was given a meager budget and left at Pinewood Studios with no direction, no guidance to build the sets that you see in that movie. And the set that you folks touched on, the one with the spider and the chair in the room, that was an afterthought. The budget had already been spent all but about, I think, less than 500 pounds he had left to build that set.
Wow.
And that was his imagination. And I mean, that was incredible. And he will go on to just continually, in my mind, establish himself as one of the best set designers ever. And finally, you know, the James Bond theme, the James Bond that we see walk across in the gun sight, a lot of people don't realize that's not Sean Connery, because they had finished filming, and this was another last minute thought that
it was the stunt double.
Mm-hmm. The stunt double had to come out and do so. And how iconic was that? The theme and that iconic gun barrel walk. So overall, I mean, this movie to me, it's one of those ones that holds a special place in my heart. Obviously, Dr. No isn't Bond as it hits its full stride when it finally gets a full budget and promotional backing by the studios and everything else. But this is it. This is Bond boiled down to its very essence. And I did want to mention one last thing. Sorry. One thing that after I'd seen this movie so many times, and I never noticed this before until this recent rewatching, is when Bond's in the briefing with M, one of the things that I picked up on that I absolutely love is M picks up his pipe and prepares to smoke his pipe, and Bond offers him his cigarette lighter. And M ignores him and goes and gets his own match off of the fire mantle. And that is setting the tone of who M is and how powerful and above Bond he is, without them having to use any dialogue, anything at all. It's Bond trying to become closer to him and him saying, no, I'm the boss, you're the subordinate, you know, chill out. And I'd never noticed that before, but that was a brilliant little piece of writing, in my opinion.
Oh, very cool, very cool. I while you're on that scene, I also like when Bond tries to sneak out with the Beretta, and M doesn't even look up. He doesn't even look up for what he's doing.
Then M tells Moneypenny to stop the chit chat and just keep Bond going. He's in a hurry.
I did like that initial back and forth between Bond and Moneypenny. Like, of course, like that could literally never happen in any office ever now. but it did set the dynamic, you know, between Bond and Moneypenny, how they are always flirtatious towards each other. I thought that was cool.
I recently watched these with my son as a teenager. And he finally sat down and watched them through with me. And I told him before we got started, I said, if you ever try any of these lines or moves with a woman in real life, you will either be slapped or arrested or both.
It only works in the 007 universe.
That's right. Only Bond can do these things.
Yeah. In order to do something like that, you better, you know, I don't know, be a secret agent or have like a ridiculous amount of money.
Well,
so those are my thoughts. Thanks for indulging me.
All right.
Can I ask one more question?
Sure.
Moneypenny, is that her code name?
You're just going to have to wonder.
Okay.
Really? This is something that gets revealed later, or you actually just don't know it?
No further questions. All right.
Well, I figure she's working in and everybody has a code name. M has M, and...
You know, I don't know that it's ever specifically revealed if it's a code name or not. I think it might be her real name. Jason, thoughts?
I'm hearkening back to the James Bond role-playing game that we used to play as kids.
We're deep into it, folks.
And I think it was her real name.
Yeah, I want to say it is.
And I'm sure our fans will let me know if I'm wrong. In the most gentle way possible, of course.
Jason, I believe you have one more responsibility per the script. I believe it's time for you to check in with our new agents and find out on our scale of 1 to 7 martinis what they think of this movie.
All right, gentlemen.
Just repeat what I just said.
All right, gentlemen. You know your mission. 1 to 7 martinis. And 1 being the worst, I guess, and 7 being the best. Where would you place this initial Bond movie, Delvin?
I'm going to give it 5 martinis. It set the table for what we all know is a character that has lasted 55 years. I mean, any other character that usually lasts that long, that's somebody that's not in a comic book or something, you know, not something that's taken from a novel. So, I enjoyed it, and I'll give it 5 martinis.
Very nice.
All right. Thank you, Delvin. Pat, how many martinis are you going to give it, good sir?
What flavor are these martinis?
Dang it, Pat.
They're vodka martinis.
Okay. Shaken, not stirred.
Okay. I just had to ask to make sure. And how many ice cubes?
Don't put ice cubes in it.
Yeah, no. Yeah, gentlemen don't put over ice the rocks cubes in their drink.
Well, that's something I'll have to learn through this schooling here. All right. Well, I'm with Delvin. I'm going to give it 5 as well.
Nice.
I did enjoy it. I'm intrigued to continue to move forward and delve more into this rich history of James Bond.
So long.
Very good.
Good job to all. Good job, Jason. Good job, rookie agents. I got
3 little known facts. Can I do my 3 little known facts?
No. All right. So.
Show's getting longer and longer.
Oh, this is JD. All right. What are your 3 little known facts?
Okay. So I grabbed 3 little known facts I thought you might be interested in after watching the movie. I didn't want to say anything before because I didn't want to do any spoilers. So Jack Lord, the guy who played Felix Leiter, was originally going to return as Felix Leiter in Goldfinger, but he demanded more money and better billing. He was, as the English would say, sacked. And so Felix Leiter would be played by many actors over the course of the Bond franchise. And you may have noticed when Bond...
You did not. Hang on. Delvin did not play Felix Leiter.
Can't prove that.
I think he did.
I think we can prove that, Delvin. I think it's pretty easily proven.
Agree to disagree.
Oh, goodness.
All right.
Factoid number 2.
Factoid number 2. So when you might have noticed when Bond meets Dr. No and they're about to have dinner, Bond stops and stares at a painting. And it's a painting of Goya's portrait of the Duke of Wellington. And that painting had been stolen just a little while before the film began. It was stolen from the National Gallery by a 60-year-old amateur thief in London. And so Ken Adams got the brilliant idea to contact the National Gallery in London and obtain a slide of the picture. And he painted that copy over a weekend and set it up in there as a little nod to current events that were going on at the time, things that were making headlines to say that Dr. No was actually the one that stole the portrait of the Duke of Wellington.
Unfortunately, it didn't age well because nobody who watches it now gets the reference.
Yeah, no, you know, for a long time, I thought that was supposed to be Napoleon.
That's what I thought when I was a kid.
Because he made that Napoleon complex joke a little bit later during the dinner. So I always thought that's what it was. But no, it was Goya's portrait of the Duke of Wellington.
Yeah. I was wondering why I was staring at that.
Yeah, me too.
That's odd.
Yeah, so you would have gotten the joke 50 years ago. And then my third and final one is the scene where Bond murders Professor Dent in cold blood. That nearly cost the film its A rating in England, which is the rating that's needed to allow minors to see the movie. And so you know, through all the Bond franchise, the Bond movies will always go up to that line, that what we would call rated R, our line today, and not quite cross it, but have a lot of arguments back and forth with their movie ratings company. So
I noticed that they had the gunshots that they rarely showed blood. They just did the noise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And one of the tricks that they learned after this was they learned when they showed the when the movie was screened for the folks that gave it the rating in England, it didn't have to be the final version. So a lot of times what they would do is they would give the film without the sound, without the actual sound effects. And then after they got the rating, they would dub the sound effects in later. Cause it's really the thump, thump, thump of the silencer, the bullets hitting the body, if you think about it, that are really kind of gut wrenching. Like you said, there's no blood or anything like that. Yeah. So if you imagine you're just watching it, you just see like a pop, 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 you know, and a guy fall down, you're like, oh, that's not so bad. I'll give it an A rating. But then they would add the sound in, and later it would sound much more visceral.
And this has been Factoids with Jason.
So, at any rate, well, I thought that's why I was here, to add a little something, a little did you know.
Well, well done.
A little Pope in the pool.
A little Pope in the pool.
Did you guys notice, too, that the record he's playing is the song that Honey is singing later on?
Well, let's not talk about that too much right now, Pat. Okay. That might be important later. Okay, so... Because now it is time to crown this episode's Double O Award winner. Pat and Delvin will do this by answering a series of trivia questions on Dr. No. But before we do that, let's take a quick break to thank our Patreon sponsors.
White Rocket Entertainment.
Got a long list of names to read here, but we really greatly appreciate these folks who sponsor us on Patreon. They keep us going. So I'm just going to burn through these real fast. Samuel Salvatore, Christopher Burleson, Joseph Fine, Nicholas Cottrell, Phil Amthor of WeHaveDonuts.com, Justin Bean of WeDoNotHaveDonuts.com. I'm just kidding. That's not a real website. Steve Trawick, Richard Stevens, Preston Dyer, Will Summerford, John McCune, Tom Anderson, David Evers, Andrew Barber, Timothy, just says Timothy, Steve Harlan, Dan Thompson, Wes Atkinson, Rich Reimer, Gerard Alberich, William Glenn Matthews, Chris Thrash, Logan Chilton, George Gaston, Tony Perry, Alex Guyan, I'm going to mess this up. Gwyn? It's probably pronounced Gwyn. My apologies, correct. Alex. It's probably
that's
pronounced
correct.
Gwyn. All right. Thanks, Pat. Pat's our pronunciation expert. Josh Teal, David Simpson, Earl Ricks, War Eagle Earl, Mike Finley, C.T. Wayne, Randall Walker, Michael Kirshner, Dave, Clay Henson, John Stubbs, Kenneth, Britt Rains, Nicholas Craig, Mick Vigicana, Russ Milling, Wardam Wade, Matthew Wagstaff, Joey Miller, Mark Squire, David Medinas, Catherine England, Brant Rumble, and J.W. Rice. I'm sorry if I missed anyone on this one. I will get an updated list to make sure we get you on the next show. If you'd like to help keep Bullets in our PPK, you too can help sponsor the show over at patreon.com. Just search the keyword Plexico, P-L-E-X-I-C-O, and you can give as little as a dollar a month to help keep gas in our Aston Martin DB5. And like those other folks whose names you just heard, you'll get a shout out on every episode of all the White Rocket Entertainment shows, including this one. As a patron, you can also get bonus material, behind-the-scenes information on all White Rocket endeavors, including our novels, comic books, and more. So thank you guys so much for sponsoring the show. It's time to hand it back over to Jason.
Okay, so let's find out who this mission's Double O Award winner is going to be so he can lord it over the other guy until the next episode.
It's going to be Pat. Oh, I can tell you that already.
Don't count yourself out.
I don't know. I don't know. I didn't watch the movie.
Well played, Pat.
Jared and I have each prepared three questions for a total of six. We'll take turns asking each of the contestants a question. You get it right, that's 1 point. You get it wrong, your opponent has an opportunity for a steal. Most points gets you the coveted Double O Award, a laser watch from Q, and a date with Miss Moneypenny.
Oh, my.
I think we can guarantee one of those three things. While supplies last, not available in all areas.
The laser watch? Is it the laser watch?
Yes, it's the laser watch, Pat.
Laser watch, laser watch.
Let's start the segment we like to call Agents Under Fire.
Well, I understand Double O's have a very short life expectancy.
I'll kick it off. I will quiz Delvin. Jason, you will quiz Pat, and we will go back and forth. So starting with Delvin. Delvin! What is the name of Dr. No's private island?
Oh, God. I don't know.
Wait, hold on.
Wait.
That's a note.
How long does it get?
Until Jason does this terrible, terrible Jeopardy impersonation.
Crab Katie. Oh,
he's looking it up.
Somebody You're Googled. Looking it up.
No, I did not. I took notes.
All right. Using your notes is perfectly good. This All right. You guys yep. Take notes.
On my honor as an agent. I did not Google or dark web it. I wrote my notes and I had it on my notes.
All right. Good job, Delvin. All right, Jason, hit up Pat.
All right, Pat, don't let me down. What color was Coral's shirt when they went to Crab Key? And I'll give you a hint. It was the same color as when they were not at Crab Key.
Don't give him any hint.
At the club.
Stop it.
At the dock.
Yeah, he's wearing a...
I'm saying I think he had one shirt.
He's wearing a reddish shirt, yeah.
I think you got it.
I think Jason's stumping for Pat on this, Delvin. I think he's got it in for you.
I do too.
Now, this is where I should probably warn everybody that what I tried to do was make the questions a little harder as the rounds went on. So we're going into round two.
Round two. Let's do it.
Delvin. According to her story, how did Honey kill the man who had sexually assaulted her?
I'll give you a hint.
No.
It took him a whole week to die.
Mason loves him.
I thought she stabbed him. So I'm gonna say like stabbed him in the liver.
Oh, it's an opportunity.
Click, 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 click. Feed jam.
Oh, it's an opportunity for Pat to steal.
Pat. According to her story, how did Honey kill the man who sexually assaulted her?
Is it poisoning?
So you have to be a little more specific, Pat.
I can't remember. I'm gonna say poisoning, but I don't remember how.
Ah, well, no one gets anything off of that round. Well, off of Delvin's question in that round. Correct answer was, Jason?
Black Widow spider in his sleep netting took him a whole week to die.
They're the worst. All right. So, Jason, give Pat his round two question.
All right, Pat. I think this is right up your alley here.
He did get a good one.
What was the name of the song that appears many times in the film and Bond sings to Honey on the beach? And if you sing it in Sean Connery's voice, you get double points.
Is it, see if I can get my voice right here. Underneath the mango tree.
Hey, and me. Winner, winner, ding, chicken ding, dinner. Ding.
Yep.
All right, good job, Pat.
I'm getting killed here.
No, his score is 1-2. He didn't get no double points. Jason was lying.
Now with that Sean Connery impression.
Yeah, that was just awful.
You think you're pretty smart, don't you, Trebek?
All right.
Shut up.
All right. Ooh, Delvin. I smell comeback from Delvin here. Uh-oh. Delvin, at the beginning of the... Still funny. At the beginning of the film, Bond gets his famous Walther PPK. What gun did he have to trade in for it?
Yes, I'm kidding. Beretta is
Beretta. Beretta is correct.
Ding, 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 ding,
ding, ding.
But Pat damn Beretta again.
Pat gets the last question.
Oh.
All right, Pat, here it is. This is for all the marbles. What type of gun did Strangways use in his attempt to kill 007?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Ooh.
And he's had his six.
Oh, God. That's a Bond set.
Oh man, a revolver. I don't know.
Oh, Pat, you are so wrong. For this, I award you no points. May God have mercy on your soul.
Sorry.
Simple no would have been fine, but
I took a stab at it.
Well, this
shot in the head. It was a shot in the dark.
Woo! This means we have a tie.
Wait, doesn't
Oh, Delvin gets a it's a shot. That's right.
Yeah, I do, but I don't know it. I was gonna say revolver too.
Ah, so Smith and Wesson, and you've had your six. We have us a tie, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what to do with this. I don't know what to do with this.
Speed round.
Oh, how about this? All right, Delvin.
Yeah.
Dr. No is of mixed parents. What two races are his parents?
Chinese and German.
Dang! Without hesitation.
Boom!
Pat, wow. Dr. No is a mixed parent.
I'm going to say German and Chinese.
Wait, I'm gonna give Pat a chance to tie. I gotta ask what at least is difficult, right?
All right, yeah. Go ahead. I was gonna give him one. Go ahead, give him a question. Something okay. Off top of your head then. Top of the head, we're going live.
What was Honey Rider's father's occupation?
Ooh. Oh, well, Honey Rider's father, his occupation, he was a
wrong.
Wait for it. A marine zoologist.
Man.
Okay.
Not backing down.
All right. Okay. Here we go. We're going to price this right, this y'all. Without going over, what was the value of Honey Rider's most valuable seashell on the beach?
Oh, you're playing Who's Delvin's
this?
Game.
This to Delvin? Is this to Delvin?
This is to Delvin, and you'll get to put in a money value as well.
Okay.
I'm always forgetting the decimal points. It's a mundane detail.
This is not a mundane detail, Delvin.
$50.
Pat?
$50. In Florida.
In Miami.
Okay.
In Miami. God
dang it.
Wait, if I got it right first, though, that should go to me.
That should.
This is move, counter move.
Jeez. All right, Jason. Make a question off the top of your head before Pat.
I gotta make a question off the top of my head. Jeez, for poor Pat. I would say.
What Bond's agent?
What does Bond do to ward off mosquitoes on the island?
Well, what he does?
Ooh.
Or what Honey tells him to do?
Oh, boy.
Let me school you on that.
Oh, man.
She tells him to rub the water on him because they're walking down the river, which would help alleviate the scent from the dogs.
All right.
So the dogs wouldn't track them.
Okay. Okay.
Jeez. Okay. Okay. All right. We have to go off of Dr. No a little bit just because we need pure guesswork at this point.
I think I got one that'll separate the men from the boys on my next
Okay.
One.
Okay. Because what I was going to do is similar to my $50 question. I was going to ask the fellas which James Bond actor they think did the most films.
It was Connery. He did 7. I read that on the Dr. No thing, the DVD thing. He did 7.
Patrick?
Well, yeah, it was Sean Connery.
I love it. Did that. I love it when you're both wrong. Dang it.
Yeah. So,
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Roger Moore actually did.
But who was close? Oh, dang it. How many did Roger Moore do?
100.
He did not.
I think Connery.
That's how old he was when he did the last one.
Connery did 6 and Moore did 7? That sounds right to me.
It would make sense that he would do more.
Oh, this game has gotten out of control.
Yes. Why don't we just call it a tie for right now?
This is the only danger here is that neither of them will get it.
All right, what do you got? Otherwise,
what is the first sentence that Dr. No speaks to James Bond when he meets him for the first time in his lair?
Jeez, I might have to think about this one.
I have no idea.
I would say, hello, Mr. Bond.
$1 million.
Ah, that's right. You were wondering what it costs.
Yeah.
Man, I didn't even know. I didn't have trouble. And I can tell you that the call signs at the beginning when she was like W6N, W6N, G7W.
See,
it was W6N and G7W, and I couldn't say. Oh, my God. All right, whatever. You guys tied. Good job, rookie.
Yeah.
You guys really did well on this.
High five, Pat. High five.
There you go. Nobody good job, Delvin. Good job.
Lorded over the. And my script says
that's why me and Delvin make a great team.
We do.
My script says congratulations to winner. So congratulations to you two. Be sure to do the right and proper thing and lord this victory over loser until you meet again in the field of the next episode. You guys did really well. I'm proud of both of you.
I am too.
Well, now for our final segment of the show entitled Return Fire. During the Return Fire round, our rookie agents, Pat and Delvin, get to toss Jason and I a trivia question that they brought with them in an attempt to stump the 00 experts. So let's get going with Return Fire.
This never happened to the other fella.
Ah. All right, Pat, what do you got for us?
My question for you guys is, how many people put change in the Three Blind Mice cup?
That's a good question, Pat.
Oh, man.
I'm going to... Jason and I aren't competing against each other. We're just trying to defend our... so this is more of a discussion. I feel like two is the right answer.
That's what I was thinking, two. That, for some reason, that seems right to me, but I have nothing to back that off of. Pat has me on this one, so I'm straight guessing two.
We're going with two.
Okay, and the answer is one.
Oh!
Do you know? And the answer is, do you know who that was?
That would be Professor Strangways.
The Strangways, yep.
I just thought somebody might have given them in passing when they first showed up on the street and they were walking down the street. By the way, those guys weren't really blind, by the way.
Oh.
Fooled you.
Man, Jason, we took a round on our first round.
I'm a straight shooter, boys. Straight shooter.
All right, Delvin.
Holy cow.
You going to finish us off, or are you going to let us get away with gracefully?
We're laying here wounded, Delvin.
No mercy, Delvin. No
okay,
mercy.
I got a really tough one here. Who wrote the original James Bond movies? Oh, I'm joking.
He's joking.
So, at least from what I remember, like James had just navigated the waters, or him and I thought it was him and Leiter. And Quarrel did the navigation to get out to the crab key. Am I correct on that?
Pretty much. Quarrel kind of leading the way.
Yeah.
What happened with Felix?
He had to take the boat.
They had two boats. They had a power boat.
Delvin, did you watch that?
They had a power boat and a sailboat, and they could only go so far with the power boat because they had to go stealth mode. So he took the power boat back, and Quarrel and James took the sailboat.
To get in under the radar.
Thank you for that. And I'm just saying, Agent Pat, I mean, if I didn't watch the movie, you know, I match wits with you pretty good.
I know.
Was that your actual question?
It was.
Oh, okay. We win. All
right. Yay! Woo! Still alive.
Jason, you have things to say in the script.
Oh, I got more things to say?
You do.
Can I add one more thing here?
Yeah,
one more
please, because I got to bring the script thing back up.
All right. So I want to tell you guys what secret agent thing I've learned out of this movie.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay, go for it.
And what I learned as a secret agent to do is I would take a piece of my hair and I will put it across. So just in case I would know if someone had opened a cabinet or something maybe some drawers or something to use my piece of hair to do that. And I thought that was a pretty clever idea.
I actually wrote that in my notes. Like that's an old spy trick. I saw that and I was like, I've seen that. I think I had a friend of mine do that to a dorm, his roommate who was, he thought was like going to his drawers when he was out.
Wow.
Yeah. Shady. Also, you're not gonna see me doing that at all. I could not.
I've never seen Delvin's hair be longer than like I don't know a quarter of an inch.
Yeah, that's one trick I just have to leave in the spy cabinet there.
If anybody lifts the page off,
well, Delvin, it doesn't
pad.
Have to be yours. You know, you could pick it up from other places.
What's nice? Yeah, find it. What's nice about this is if Delvin becomes a secret agent, then I could be like, can I come too, just in case you do that hair trick? Yes, Jared. But like, I'm still going to act like it's a big deal. Like, I'm in my room watching TV and Delvin calls from his hotel room. I need you to come down here. And I'm like, I guess. Let me get you some hair. Oh, anyway, Jason, did you find out what you're supposed to say?
I did. Here I go. Nicely done, guys. That will bring us to a close on this episode of MI6 Rookie Agents. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this crew and want to hear more from them, but in the realm of comic books, check out the Longbox Crusade. Pat, where can that be found?
Well, Jason, I'm glad you asked. It can be found on thelongboxcrusade.com. It could also be found on iTunes under Longbox Crusade. Or if you like to Google, you can check it out on Google Play under Longbox Crusade.
Nice.
You can also find us on the Twitter underneath at Longbox Crusade and also on the Facebook at Longbox Crusade. Check us out. We're a bunch of fun guys.
We are a bunch of fun guys, as you can tell from this episode. Well, thanks to the fellas for taking on this dangerous mission, and thanks to the listeners who tuned in. If you'd like to leave a question or a comment on this or any other episodes, feel free to contact any of us directly on Facebook or Twitter. On Facebook, I am Jared Albrecht, the Yard Sale Artist. If you just search the Yard Sale Artist, you'll find me. On Twitter, I am at Yard Sale Artist. Jason?
You can find me on Facebook. I'm Jason Albrick, A-L-B-E-R-I-C-H on Facebook. I'm also Jason Albrick on Instagram. And you can find me by my handle, Weasel Skull, on the Twitter.
Pat?
And you can find me on the Twitter under at Longbox Crusade. You can also find me under Pat Sampson and the Facebook if you want to follow my endeavors there.
And Delvin.
And you can find me on Twitter at DEE_RAY1977. And you can find me on Instagram at Delvin, DELVINRAY. Yeah, come chat with me. I'll be more than happy to chat back.
I would not take that gamble. Okay, we... Excuse me. We hope to hear
that gamble daily. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I took that gamble for 20 years. What am I talking? I'm full of it tonight. All right. We hope to hear from you guys soon. The next episode of MI6 Rookie Agents will feature From Russia with Love. And remember, on Her Majesty's Secret Podcast, we'll return. Good night, everybody.